We all have dreams, but dreams by their very nature can be difficult to achieve. That's where Access Credit Union comes in. Whether it's going to college, owning a car, or building your dream home, your local credit union can help you to fulfill your dreams. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Close your eyes and pull out dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport Podcast. My name is Jack McCarran of the Southern Star, and I'm joined, as always, by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarty. Before we kick things off, I'd just like to give a gentle reminder to our listeners and viewers, as always, to please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. The Star Sport Podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years. What a fortnight it's been for the West Cork athletes at the Tokyo Olympics. We had said throughout the build-up that the seven athletes heading over from the region had the talent to make an impact, but I don't think in our wildest dreams we could have predicted just how big an impact they'd have. In the men's lightweight rowing double, the Skibbereen duo of Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarty picked up the country's first ever Olympic rowing gold, delivering a performance for the ages. And in the women's heavyweight four, fellow Skibbereen rower Emily Hegarty was part of another historic moment as they picked up Ireland's first ever women's rowing medal, securing bronze in one of the races of the Games. Aoife Casey also made her mark in Tokyo, finishing eighth overall in the women's lightweight double alongside Margaret Cremin, laying down a real marker for Paris in 3 years' time. And then, once the rowing finished up, the Ballineen bullet Phil Healy made history on the track, becoming the first Irish athlete ever to compete in three separate events at the Olympic Games. Her most memorable run probably came in the 4x400m mixed relay semi-final when the team qualified for an Olympic final, which is a real rarity in Irish athletics. Phil went on to run out of her skin in both the 200 and 400 metres events to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that she belongs on the grandest stage of them all. On today's podcast, we'll hear from the rowers after they were welcomed back to a special event emceed by Kieran on Monday night, and we'll also reflect on Phil's performances. But first, Kieran, I just want to get your overall assessment of the Olympics from a West Cork perspective.
We said in our pre-Olympic 24-page special that West Cork athletes were primed to take over Tokyo. They did take over Tokyo, Jack. Incredible to see so many West Cork athletes shine on the big stage. And it's important almost to emphasise that. This is the big stage. It's a global stage. It's the Olympics. It's the best of the best. And you have athletes from West Cork rubbing shoulders with the very, very best in the world. And not only that, they're beating the very best in the world. So it's incredible to think that, let's say Paul and Fintan for a moment, two Skibbereen rowers, two men from Athlone, are the very best in the world at what they do. They're world champions, European champions, and now they're Olympic champions. And they also set a world record best time in their semi-finals. So you're talking about taking over. Those two lads have taken over that lightweight double. It's something else. And Phil Healy as well is absolutely incredible. And David Gillick was superb earlier in the week, Jack, about Phil, just giving context as to what she's achieved. Like, you've a West Cork sprinter from Bandon Athletic Club, from Ballineen, a West Cork woman who is, again, rubbing shoulders with the best in the world and holding her own, in fairness to her. Like, she's up against, like, the Jamaicans. Like, the Jamaicans had a 1-2-3 in the women's 100-meter final, which they're saying is the greatest women's 100-meter final of all time. And then Phil in her heat was up against the 100-meter Olympic champion. Like, that just shows where Phil has come from. It started off on a grass track in Benin, and she was racing the Olympic women's 100 meter champion in the Olympic Stadium in Tokyo. So incredible couple of days. And above all, a part of their success to the side for a second, they're just such great ambassadors for West Cork. They've really put their towns, their clubs on the map. They've done their families, friends, and their clubs proud as well. So they've carried themselves with such distinction as well. So it's just, yeah, it's been a fantastic couple of weeks.
And we are probably as guilty as anyone at the Southern Star of heaping pressure on the West Cork athletes that were travelling over to Tokyo, because as you mentioned, we had the 24-page special magazine. We had podcasts wall to wall. We had coverage across southernstar.ie constantly updating the great West Cork public about how they were performing. But I think all the athletes showed just how high a calibre they are, that none of the pressure told. They were more than capable of shouldering that pressure and just showed throughout the games that they are not just the best of West Cork, they are the best in the world at what they do.
100%. And again, I'm going to come back to Paul and Fintan, because obviously they've won the gold, and I think they're just Ireland's seventh ever Olympic gold medal winners, and that's going back to there's a Dr. Pat O'Callaghan back in the 30s, which is incredible to think the two skid boys now.
But I wonder how many they're going to have in a million years' time, as Paul alluded to.
100%. He's only getting started, I think. But then when you're looking at Paul and Fintan, the pressure and expectation that was on those two lads heading over to Tokyo, like we said, World European champions, they were unbackable favourites, odds on, everybody expected them to win. But and we've said before, Jack, it never works out. Like, the fairy tale should never be that easy. The favourites, it's very rare that the favourites will jump every hurdle and then win as they're expected to. Usually there's a giant killing along the way, or some cruel quarter somewhere, or something will happen somewhere along the line, like happened to the Italians in the semi-final when their boat actually capsized. So you're thinking, Jesus, this can't go according to the script. But it did, but that just shows how well Paul and Fintan dealt with that expectation. And it's almost an insight into how those two lads operate and how Skibbereen Rowing Club works and how Dominic Casey works, because they approached it like just any other race. And I was chatting to Fintan on Monday at the homecoming, and I was saying, like, just incredible, you know, how was it like? And he said, the World's Olympic champions, he goes, they don't really mean much. He goes, what means a lot to them is the fact that they had a plan, they went out there, they executed the plan, and the reward is that they won the race. They could have been down to River Island as much as they could have been on the river and that course over in Tokyo. So it's just a fascinating insight into how these top level, high level elite athletes work.
Just one more reflection from me then before we hear from the rowers, because you obviously had the chance to speak to them on Monday evening. But I watched back the final itself for the first time last night, having watched it last week, obviously, and I watched it on the Eurosport YouTube channel. And what struck me was how happy the Germans were to win a silver medal. This is Germany, a country of 80 million people, a country that has dominated the Olympic Games for 100 years across all sports. And the German crew were celebrating wildly after picking up a silver medal behind the Irish crew, because it was almost as if they knew they didn't stand a chance. They were just, silver medal was gold for them, because the gold was long gone in their minds. This is now my amateur psychology watching a video on YouTube last night, but the celebrations were so wild that it almost struck me as their gold medal going into the games was the silver medal, if you'll excuse like the mental gymnastics you have to take. So that was my biggest reflection on rewatching the race a week out.
But remember, we'd Martin Cross on the podcast here a couple of months back. He's the former gold medalist himself with Great Britain in the Olympics in the 70s, and he's a well-known BBC, well-known rowing journalist and commentator. And he made the point that the other crews are almost beaten at the start line in the men's lightweight double at the moment, because they're looking around saying, how the hell are we going to beat Paul and Fintan? Because they're winning everything. I put up a tweet there on, obviously on Twitter, but, just stating the obvious.
On MySpace.
Just looking at the last four international Gattis that they've been on, and they've won every race and they've won gold in everyone. So that's come back to the Worlds of 2019, the Europeans this year, World Cup 2 in Lucerne, and now the Olympics. And that's 13 race wins in a row. And they've beaten every competitor that's out there. And you're looking kind of saying, how is anyone going to beat them? Because Paul and Fintan still feel that there's more to come. They still feel they're going to get better. And this is a crew that just won Olympic gold and they just set a world record time. So fierce, exciting times ahead.
Absolutely. Well, later in the podcast, we're going to chat more in depth about Phil's performances in Tokyo. But we're going to kick things off this week with some of the audio from the homecoming at Spearline on Monday evening, which, as I mentioned, was hosted by you. And to start us off, you asked Paul O'Donovan about the significance of his gold. But first, a quick reminder of the special morning evening when Skibbereen won gold at the Olympic Games.
Green light, off they go.
Oh, Father dear, and I often hear you speak of Erin's Isle.
Expect the Germans to start swiftly, and indeed they've done just that in lane four.
Mountains rude and wild, they say it is a lovely land wherein a prince might dwell. Then why did you abandon it? Oh, the reason to me tell.
They're home and hosed. They're ahead by a length. It's Ireland from Germany. And history is made on the water in Tokyo.
Till a blight came over all my crops, and my sheep and cattle died.
As Vincent McCarthy and Paul O'Donovan win gold. Gold for Ireland. Gold for Ireland. Silver for Germany.
And that's the cruel reason I left old Skibbereen.
It's one more chapter of magnificence from the men from County Cork. Brilliant, sheer brilliant. There's never been an Irish rowing gold before. Gary and Paul O'Donovan won Ireland's first Olympic rowing medal, the silver in Rio. And now Paul, with Fintan McCarthy, has won Ireland's very first gold medal.
And that's another reason I left old Skibbereen.
Paul, Olympic gold, it's another first for Irish rowing. It's a real breakthrough, and it's a real confirmation of the hard work and the talent and the process that Royal Ireland have, as well as Skibbereen. Do you think this result, as well as the women's bronze medal, that can act as a catalyst for more days like this and more Olympic medals to come to Skibbereen and indeed across Ireland?
I suppose, yeah, it feels like you're kind of asking me to predict the future here a little bit, and I wouldn't be great at that. But I suppose, well, like, it could go very badly as well, in that we get kind of so excited that we think we've found this magic formula that we just kind of, I suppose, try and stick to that as much as we can and just kind of get a bit stupid and not kind of, I suppose, strive for improvement, that we think we have it all. But I suppose at the end of the day, I really don't think that that'll be left happen, just knowing the kind of culture that we've got in the rowing club and with Dominic Casey and everyone involved. And I think, you know, the method to our success is not really just this one kind of perfect training plan or one formula. It's, as Micheál said, like, that I've told the media, it's a hell of a lot of hard work. But I suppose also just a constant kind of strive for being better. I suppose it's never perfection, because we know that we'll never get there. We're always just looking to get better each and every day, and just always kind of looking for errors in what we're doing and just trying to correct that just a little bit. And I think, as I've kind of alluded to in other interviews about my friend Heraclitus, who keeps falling in rivers, God love him, but he says the one thing that's constant in this world is change. And I think that's also one of the secrets to success, is that we're not kind of afraid of change. We're ready to embrace it and take it on and tackle it up front and kick its hole.
Gary, next for this question, because I think he's the right man to answer this question. Dominic Casey has been such an integral part of this story. Not only the success of Skibbereen Rowing Club, but now he's transferred that since he became Irish lightweight rowing coach back in 2016. What is it about Dominic that makes him such a good rowing coach, and that brings out such great results and great performances from all these rowers, whether it's with the club or with the Irish athletes?
This is a... I've been trying to figure this one out myself for a while. I think it helps that he's insane, and I think it helps that he drives us insane. But you know that stance really helps in rowing, like being insane and crazy. And I think we've all got on well so far with that mentality. But I really have been trying to figure this out. And when I was reading Mark's article in the Southern Star, and I don't know how many people have read it, but you know, Michal mentioned about the lads that they couldn't do any more training. They said it themselves, they couldn't train anymore, and Dominic made them go training again. And it's interesting, like when I think about it as well, whenever you talk to someone around the area or someone involved in the rowing club, usually they're giving out about Dominic or complaining, or they're not happy with him over something or another. And like that, the first reaction of the lads when he told them to go out and do that last session was to complain and say, are you mad, man? We can't, like, you're nuts. And people come up and say it, and I could guarantee you everyone in this room has, at one point or another, Dominic has made them do something they didn't think they could do, you know? And I think, like, there's one story that I was thinking of during the week, like Shane's brother, he was an engineer up in Ringaskiddy, and he had a job one Saturday of bringing in a massive cruiser into the harbour. And Dominic was, the Skibbereen Regatta was on, and Shane came in, he was like, Jesus, man, like, Dominic won't leave Kevin alone. He can't leave the harbour. He has to bring in this cargo ship. It's impossible, he can't, because Dominic wanted him to work at the Regatta on the Saturday. And Shane was telling me, he's like, he's driving Kevin mad, he can't come in, like, what are we going to do? Anyway, the whole thing kind of went over my head and disappeared. Sure, didn't I see Kevin up at the start line marshalling boats around at 10 o'clock in the morning at my first race, and I went up for my third race to the day at 6 in the evening. He was still there marshalling boats around, and you can only imagine that the cruise ship was stuck outside. Like. And I think this is the thing, like, Dominic gets the best out of people. He gets people to do what they don't think they can do. And he does that with the athletes. And I think that's most important, that, you know, he can get the most out of all of us here. When we think there's not enough training, that we think we're done and there's more to come, and he'll get that out of us, and he'll get that out of the people around us, because we need people to help us, you know. We need the sports scientists, we need all the resources that Sport Ireland have that they can give us. We need the help of the people of the rowing club, we need the help of the people of the community, you know, even if it's just little things like, you know, like the people who make the soup for the tent at the Cork Regatta for us, you know. And we come in on a cold, you know, it's freezing cold, it's pissing rain, we're after two races in the day, and all we want is to be warm, and there's warm soup there. And Dominic got that for us, you know. Some way, indirectly, he got someone to do something, and that helps us, and it helps all the young athletes, and it's everybody around us is getting the best out of themselves, and I think Dominic encourages that. And through that, we're able to encourage each other to get the best out of ourselves, and it's this open, honest, let's everybody help everybody and get the most out of each other for everyone's benefit. And, you know, I don't think there is a magic recipe, but I do think that that's part of the concoction, is that everybody is a part of it, and Dominic gets everybody involved. And
some brilliant stuff from both Gary O'Donovan and Paul O'Donovan there, particularly Gary's story about the cruise ship, which I think gives a great indication of what make Dominic Casey's role in all of this so important. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the audio of Kieran asking Fintan McCarthy a question, but we do have the audio of Fintan answering, which is of course much more important. So here is Fintan responding to a question about whether his gold medal can be an inspiration for the next generation of Skibbereen rowers.
I really hope so, because I've been thinking about this one a lot when, you know, all the interviews are saying. I've taken from it is that hopefully, you know, it can be an inspiration for even a few young people to pick it up, because like I was so lucky to have found, you know, if you're not good at those big sports, you're kind of just, Jake was saying this to me earlier, you're just kind of boxed off as not sporty or not athletic. And you know, I feel really proud that I've been able to like show kids that, you know, you don't have to be, it doesn't have to be GA or soccer, you can be good at something else and become the best in the world. And yeah, I just think that's really cool.
So Kieran, there was obviously more than Gary, Paul and Fintan at the event, but we don't have the audio from Emily Hegarty, Aoife Casey and Lydia Heafy on hand just now. But overall, the night itself at Spearline, how was it? It must have been special to be there and be in the presence of greatness.
Yeah, I was very honoured and privileged to be asked to attend it. And it was a club function organised by Skibbereen Rowing Club. And just to recognise, they wanted to recognise the achievements of all their skib rowers who went up to Tokyo, and of course, Dominic Casey. So it was a small gathering. It was an intimate gathering. It was meant to be hosted outdoors first, but then Ireland being Ireland, the heavens opened and the rain poured down. So
after a month of sunshine, the day they come home, it's spilling rain.
You couldn't write it, because even the night before, when Fintan and Emily came back to Skibbereen and they gave an impromptu drive around town, beautiful evening again. There was people out in the streets coming out, well-wishers and locals, and coming out to welcome them home. But anyway, on Monday, the rain gods did come out to try and spoil the party for a bit. But it just gives you an insight into the Skibbereen Rowing Club again. They just got on with it, you know, like they always did. They just, the show moved indoors for a small bit. And it was a great show as well. Sean O'Brien was DMC, did a great job. You had Antishuk, Micheál Martin was there. You had Simon Coveney, Jack Chambers were there, a couple of local politicians. Then Sean Moran, the club chairman, said a couple of words. Nuala Upton, the club president, was bursting with pride as well. And of course, we had the six Olympians and we had Dominic Casey. But what I thought was great, Jack, is sitting in the back row on Monday night, there were two of the three founding members, Richard Hosford, and you had Danny Murphy. And it was just great to see that these two men who thought of this club, this concept back in 1970, they started this club, and now we're here, 51 years later, 52 years on, and there's an Olympic gold coming down to Skibbereen, as well as Emily's Olympic bronze medal as well. And when you added to Gary and Paul's Olympic silver in 2016, that's the full set. So it was great to see Richard Hosford and Danny Murphy there. Great to see Donal O'Sullivan there too. He was a club chairman for 35 years. So just from that alone, you can see that it was a special night for the club, kind of the past and the future and the present. They were all there together. The athletes were in superb form. I know we don't have the audio from talking to Emily, Lydia and Aoife, but I was asking Aoife just about her experience of the Olympic Village, and she was filming us in what it was like. And she was walking around the village one day and Tom Daly walked by. She was like, that's Tom Daly, the great British diver. And he obviously won Olympic gold as well at these games. And so it was just, it was a good night, good fun. And it moved outdoors after, because obviously somebody got the message to the weather gods. Hi, there's something going on in Skibbereen. Quit the nonsense, get the sun back out. So we were outdoors after, and you could see all the rowers, like I said, past and present England. You'd Marco Donovan there, Orla Hayes, Timmy Harnady, Shane O'Driscoll, and so many more, family and friends. So just a really special night.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. And a great week, 2 weeks all around for the town of Skibbereen. But we're going to take a quick break now, and up next we're going to be chatting about the Ballineen Bullet, Phil Healy.
Hi, my name is Denise Harrington. I'm a co-chair of the under sevens. That's the age we start with. Hopefully we can hold on to them for years. It's not just all about running. We do jumps, hurls, shot put. So look, it's a place for everyone. If you don't think you have to run, you can try other events over the years. We are really a club that tries to be inclusive of everyone and enjoy ourselves, and we are very family orientated here.
The reason we're doing this, folks, is to try and get support to build our home. We have a field, we need a home. That'll take huge support. I appreciate if you can put your hand in your pocket and give us any donation. It doesn't really matter how small or how big. For the people that have been through the club, you've obviously seen what we have done with you or your children. We need support. Again, if you can either help out in any way, but financially, this is a huge undertaking and we really need your help for it.
Even more so, the fruits of it are Phil Healy going to the Olympics and four members of the club selected yesterday for the European Under 20 Championships, which is a major achievement, really. I'm sure Catherine and Billy must be thrilled in heaven looking down to see that.
You know, not all kids go to competition, but we try and have a group who would, we might run our own little mini competitions without kids even realizing it.
So please, we need your support, and again, it would be very much appreciated.
Assets Credit Union funding dream.
We all knew coming in she was Ireland's fastest woman, and we'd seen her compete at a high level internationally before, but how great was it to finally see the Ballinine Bullet Phil Healy test herself at the very top level of the sport and more than hold her own. Before we chat about her performance as a whole, let's quickly listen to Phil's brilliant interview with RTE after her scintillating run in the 400 metres.
Phil, just seeing the results, 700s. Unfortunately, you're not going through to the semi-final.
Yeah, it was 700s today, it was 600 yesterday. This is sport and it's the finest of margins, but I have to come, like yesterday, as I said, I was disappointed missing out by the 600s. Today, it's my second fastest time ever outdoors. Of course, again, I would love to be in a semi-final, and I know what the other runs have taken from me, but I came out here today, the first Irish person, woman, to do three events at an Olympic Games in athletics. We made history with the relay. I have to be happy going away with these, and that performance today has erased yesterday somewhat for me, so I will definitely be going home happy from these games.
And right, you should, okay? It's been such a week for you, the highs, the lows, and everything in between, but to come out here... And, you know, if it went 52 high, people probably went, yeah, well, she's had a tough week. But it's gone 51 high. So, again, like, you've got to be so proud of your Olympic experience.
100%. And yesterday you gave great context to what I've actually done here, and people might underestimate to come out. This is my fourth time out. Each round takes an awful lot. It's just not a normal race. It's Olympic Games. It has that whole extra weight of emotion, everything that is carried with it. So, look, of course, there is that little bit of disappointment to be just one spot short, but I came out here, I gave it absolutely everything and performed to the best of my ability, and if it was 100% fresh, that was definitely going to be a new PB.
And look, I know there's a lot of people at home willing you on and very proud of what you've achieved. Can you just say hello to them, and do you have anything you want to say to them?
Absolutely, the support back home has been unbelievable. Like, my Instagram messages are flooded at the moment, and I will get back at them, but yeah, it's just incredible. Like, we do have empty stands here, but the support at home is just crazy. And, like, especially back in my own village, West Cork, and got to keep up with those roars in West Cork. So, no, it's unbelievable. And they might as well be here. You feel that much support.
Brilliant, Phil. Well, it's a pleasure. All right.
Super. Thanks a million, David.
Kieran, Phil Healy, history maker. How would you assess her Olympics as a whole?
Of Phil's coming back to West Cork as an Olympic finalist, which is an incredible achievement and honour for her. And that's a title she's going to carry for the rest of her life. Like, Phil Healy ran in an Olympic final at the Tokyo Games, and she's also part of the first Irish relay team that ever competed in an Olympic final. And they got there, Jack, by smashing, shattering the national record. They took 4 seconds off it in their semi-final last Friday, and then did the Olympic final on the Saturday, where they finished eighth. And I think there was chopping and changing before that final, because they were meant to be in lane five, but then another team was reinstated after disqualifications the day before, so Ireland were pushed out to lane one. So it wasn't ideal. They still got on with it. They still ran a very fast time, which was 2 seconds inside their PB coming out to Tokyo, so still a very good run. So from that, Phil was in an Olympic final, and she competed so well. But what that did, Jack, didn't know, it narrowed her recovery time before her 200 metre heats on the Monday. So what she had, instead of having 2.5 days between a semi-final of the 4x4 100 and her 200 metre heat, she'd only probably a day and a bit to recover, which isn't ideal. And she still put in a terrific performance. Like, she got a season's best of 23.21, and she finished fifth in her heat in the 200 metres. And that was the same heat as Elaine Thompson-Herah of Jamaica, who I mentioned earlier, who was the Olympic 100 metre champion. So, and Elaine Thompson-Herah finished third in that heat before eventually going on to win gold. So like for Phil to come out and run a season's best after what she'd been through physically and emotionally with the relay team was incredible.
But just Kieran, can we just dwell on that point for a second then? Because obviously there was plenty of debate on RTE television, especially with Olympic legend Sonia O'Sullivan commenting on whether or not Irish athletics had made the wisest decisions by not having a sub within the 4x400 meter relay, and whether or not Phil should have been competing in all three events, etc., etc. There's obviously various intricacies to all of that, but would you put any stock in some of those comments, or do you think Phil was going out there with the goal of becoming the first Irish athlete to compete in three events, and she did that successfully, and if it did affect her performance in the 200 metres, that's just par for the course?
I think we had her coach, Shane McCormick, on the podcast before the games, and we asked that about the heavy load that would be on Phil over those couple of days in the vote, and it is a very busy and hectic schedule. They felt that she was well able to take that load because she had done something similar in previous championships before. Then go back to the 2018, was it, there was any European championships, she ran in three different events, and even at the national championships earlier this year, she ran over a couple of days as well. So they felt that Phil could take it all on. But I think probably everyone was surprised that an Irish relay team got to the Olympic final, because all of a sudden she had an Olympic final on the Saturday. And I'm not sure, and this is just me, my own opinion, if they actually thought they were going to get to an Olympic final in the first place. Like, they did fantastically well to get there. So that meant her recovery was cut down significantly. And as well as the physical toll it takes running a second 400 metres and an Olympic final, it's the emotion as well. Like, and Phil was the oldest member of that relay team as well, so she assumed very much a leadership role with that team. So I think, and again, I'm not speaking for her and I haven't spoken to her about it, but maybe that took an awful lot out of her before she got onto her individual events. And you could see by her interview with RTE and David Gillick after the 200 metre heat on Monday, she was visibly getting upset. And you don't usually see Phil Healy like that. So it just shows the highs and lows and the emotional toll that an Olympics can take on you. But that's why it was so, so good to see Phil go out in the 400 metres on Tuesday and put in her second fastest outdoor 400 metre time ever. She finished fifth in that heat. She missed out in the semi-finals by 0.07 of a second and won time qualifier position. So incredibly, again, like, we're talking about fine margins, 0.07 of a second separated Phil from an Olympic 400 metre semi-final. That's coming off the back of a very, very busy couple of days for her. So Shane McCormick said on Twitter on Tuesday, he goes, she's a warrior, and you just have to see it. She's like, kind of, she's coming back to West Cork and Ballineen with her head held high. Terrific couple of days. And the feeling was, I think she felt going over too, that she was in a shape to run a PB, and she probably was in that shape. But the fact that the relay did it, she sacrificed her individual events to put it all into the relay. She did, you know. If she didn't have those that relay, possibly she could have run PBs, because she was in phenomenal shape going over there. But it's Phil, she wanted to take part in the relay. It meant an awful lot to her. She did it. She helped get them to an Olympic final. So she'll come home and reflect on a job well done, I think.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll be able to speak to Phil on the podcast in the coming weeks. But final question then for this week's episode on the Ballineen Bullet. The Paris Olympics are in 3 years' time. Phil's 26 at the moment. There is a young pretender in the Irish sprinting ranks who we also spoke about in recent weeks, Radisha Adelecki. What would be your feeling at the moment? Could you see Phil turning out again in Paris?
I think so, and I think that is the plan, because between now and Paris, there are a lot of major championships coming up. You've World and European Indoor and Outdoor Championships over the next couple of years. Next summer, the World Outdoor Championships will be held in Oregon, and that relay team is already qualified for those championships. So Phil will be going there, touch wood, as part of that relay team. And she'll also focus on her individual events as well, because they feel she's still almost a rookie at the 400 metres. She's still very new to it, because she was 100 and 200 for so long. But the last couple of years, she's ventured towards the 400 more and more. And she ran a PB of 51.50 earlier this year. There's a feeling that there's more to come from Phil into 400. So I think, yeah, Paris is only 3 years away. There's a lot to happen before we even get there. But Phil will get faster, I think, before then. I think she will. She will have broken that 200-metre Irish record at the Olympics if she didn't have the relay. So those times, those fast times were in her, and she also has that drive, that inbuilt drive to keep going as well. So she's only getting started, just like the rowers.
We all have dreams, but dreams by their very nature can be difficult to achieve. That's where Access Credit Union comes in. Whether it's going to college, owning a car, or building your dream home, your local credit union can help you to fulfill your dreams. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Kieran, before we wrap up, there's been some big Southern Stars sports sections over the course of the Olympic Games, and this Thursday's is no different.
We have 32 pages of sport winging its way to shops on Thursday morning, and there's 16 pages on the Olympics right in the middle of it. We've got Olympic size in our Olympic coverage, Jack, and we're going to finish off on a high as well, especially when you've gold and bronze Olympic medals coming back to West Cork, and obviously Aoife, Lydia, Gary and Phil Healy too, doing tremendous stuff. So there's some great stuff in our Olympic coverage. Obviously, we've had chats with Paul, Fintan, Gary, Emily in there. We've a look at Dominic Casey, what makes him tick. I caught up with Teddy O'Donovan, who is Paul and Gary's dad, to ask him about Paul's journey from the young fella he put on a boat in the island when Paul was just 8 years old to the man who has now topped an Olympic podium in Tokyo. So it was good to get Teddy's thoughts on that. With the thoughts as well of the likes of Night O'Toole and Marco Donovan and what they saw. Nuala Lupton shares her views on it. There's so much in there. It's packed, and I have my own colour piece too, which kind of summing up the last couple of days where we were between Love Island and a Greek philosopher, Heraclitus, I think that's his name after. We get it all in there. So there's so much in this Thursday Southern Star for Olympic coverage alone. But outside of that, there's a lot going on. The Cork hurlers have Kilkenny in an All-Ireland semi-final this weekend. The Cork ladies are through to the All-Ireland semi-final against Meath. The Cork Camogie team has marched on as well. The Cork Miners beat Kerry last week. The Cork under 20s bowed out of the All-Ireland semi-final to Offaly. Then there's all the local action as well. And so there's plenty going on. And just as part of that coverage, Castlehaven won their League Two County Football League final on Sunday, but they got an injury, and it's an injury that they hope won't hurt their chances in the upcoming County Senior Football final against Nemo. So just check out the Southern Star for that and a lot more.
And if you can't make it to the shops, you can always subscribe online. Just go to www.southernstar.ie/e-paper and you can read the Southern Star on your computer, tablet or smartphone for less than €2 per week. Just to flag one more thing as well, because there is a free souvenir giant glossy Olympic sized poster with this week's Southern Star as well. So pictured on it are Fintan McCarthy, Paul O'Donovan with their gold medals, and Emily Hegarty with her bronze. So this is one that would be hanging up in bedrooms, businesses, schools, windows, everywhere around West Cork and beyond for the next couple of years. Because I know if you walk around Skibbereen now, the Southern Star poster from the 2016 Olympics is still on display. So don't forget to pick up a copy to make sure you get this poster, Kieran.
Just on that, Jack, if there's listeners to this podcast now who aren't in West Cork and they want to get this week's Southern Star and get that poster, what's the best way for them to get hold of the Star this week?
The best way is to probably call the front office at 028-212-00 and ask for a postal subscription, and we'll be able to post a copy of the Southern Star out to you featuring the poster. So yeah, if you're listening or watching from anywhere outside of West Cork where the Southern Star isn't as easily available, but also the Southern Star is available in Dublin, it's available in London, it's available in Limerick, they even sell it in the Book Centre in Kilkenny. So if you have a decent bookshop in your town or a sizable news agent, all you have to do is go in and ask at the counter and say, could you order in an extra Southern Star for me this week, and they will happily do it. So either call and look for a postal subscription, but if you're in a major town that has a decent bookshop or news agent, that's probably the easiest way to do it, and it'll be the most efficient way because they'll be able to get a copy the very next day, whereas a postal subscription could take up to a couple of days depending on where you are. So whatever you do, ring the office, because I know our colleague Peggy is on top of all the shops around Ireland that stock the Southern Star, and in the UK for that matter. It's in London, it's probably in Manchester, I just don't have a list of the stores in front of me. So wherever you are, we'll be able to get a copy of the Southern Star with this special souvenir Olympic poster. So don't be afraid to just call us up and we will make sure you are looked after, because as we said, this is a historic moment in the history of West Cork sports. So what better way to celebrate it than with a big giant poster on your wall that will last for years, because it is those brilliant glossy posters. Anyway, that's enough shilling.
And it's a giant glossy poster. I think what I'm getting from what you're saying, it's a big giant glossy poster.
And it's free with this week's paper.
Which is a big thing.
So, yeah, exactly. Fantastic. So make sure to pick up a copy. We might clip this one and throw it out on social media as well, because we are the ultimate Southern Star salesman. Our colleague Brian McCarthy would probably lay claim to that title, but we might challenge him with our performance in the last 2 minutes. Anyway, look, I digress. Let's finish up. Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Slán tomhú.